Did you believe that it was all Woody Johnson's decision to fire Robert Sala over in New York?
Not only his.
Oh, you think he did? But he said it was only his decision.
Yeah, I mean, the stories that are coming out that he originally, New York Post, I think, says that they just wanted to fire Hackett. And then Rodgers stepped in. I mean, do you believe that?
Yeah, I believe Aaron Rodgers runs the organization.
I just imagine he'd also want to fire Sala.
Aaron Rodgers would want to fire Sala?
No, the owner.
Oh, no, I just thought it was Aaron Rodgers' decision that I don't know what it is, but he just doesn't want to be with him anymore, and that was it. So maybe. the whole wanting to hug thing and the shove-off thing probably was actually a glimpse into their relationship together, which I just thought he marched by the orders. More on that coming up in a moment. But start your game day with the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show with Jonathan Peterlin, live from the Neon Room at MGM Northfield Park this Sunday, starting at 10 a.m. through kickoff at 1 p.m. Make the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show part of your game day routine. On the radio home of the Cleveland Browns, 92.3 The Fan, it's presented by Valley Automotive Group, the Buckeye Law Group, and Sal's Heating and Cooling, Plumber and Sewer. Get details at 92.3thefan.com. So I said that yesterday. I said, oh man, Robert Sala must have spoke up against his boss, Aaron Rodgers, and plenty of people went, excuse me. And I went, yeah, I know there are plenty of parallels that you can draw here. I wasn't drawing them, but you can, and maybe rightfully so. Do you or do you not believe that that they could go out there on Sunday, and if Deshaun Watson plays terribly, they would sit Deshaun Watson, that Kevin could sit Deshaun Watson? Because now there has been a firing. This is a team over in New York that still wants to make the playoffs. I don't know how possible it is. Still want to make the playoffs. They fired their head coach. They marched him out with security. And here we are here in Cleveland at 1-4, and we are staring 1-5 dead in the hairy eyeball with them getting two wide receivers back and us not having an offense right now.
Yeah, I think this is the game. I said there was a natural time for Watson to get benched in the third quarter where the coach could still have a little bit of plausible deniability, like, hey, we wanted to get him out of there. He was getting killed. He was getting really banged up. It was tough to see him getting up. We couldn't protect him. And for all those reasons, it was a blowout. Like, I thought they could have done it there. I was surprised they didn't. Now, looking at this game against Philly, to maintain whatever order you might have left in the locker room, I think this is the week that if it is looking like it was last week, I think he's getting benched. And I do think they would go to Jameis.
And you think Kevin makes that decision?
Does he make
that decision at his own peril?
Well, I wonder if they've already talked about it. So I wish it was his decision.
You think they haven't?
But I wonder if already they've talked about, hey, if things go bad this week, if he has to ask permission, that's bad to begin with. But they collaborate. They collaborate on everything. We already established earlier this week, I don't like that, if that's the setup.
If you were, I can understand what you're saying there, but if you were management, could you not see the reasoning why you would sit him by now? Like, there's no way you could sit there in a meeting and say, absolutely not. It's unthinkable. He's going to play.
I mean, yeah, there's certain realities to how a locker room, how an organization works. And most people around the NFL, you've heard everybody talk about this over the last few days. You have ex-coaches, you have ex-players. Have we played what one of the Washington Commanders said about your quarterback?
We are more than welcome to play that. Thank you very much for bringing that up, my friend.
I mean, when you are hearing this kind of talk about the quarterback that a team is facing week to week. Listen to this.
Yeah, go ahead.
From looking at your timelines between you and Deshaun Watson, I think you've faced him at least once before in your career, earlier in your career. Talk about how he looked then as opposed to how he looked this past weekend at Northwest Stadium. What's the difference
there? Honest, he looks like a player who has stuff going on above the shoulders. You know what I mean? There's definitely a confidence thing that's been going on. And, you know, I always tell people this. It doesn't matter how great of a player you are. If you don't have confidence, you're not a good player. I would say that's just the biggest difference. I mean, I think physically, obviously, he's probably not as athletic as he was 6, 7 years ago, however long it was. But I still think he has that potential. But I don't know. Football is a weird game, man. If mentally you're not good up top, like, you're going to be weird. You're not going to be confident. You're not going to be playing free. You're going to be thinking. You're going to be reacting slower. So I would probably say that's probably the biggest difference for him right now. Like I always say, when it rains, it pours. When things are going bad, you're frustrated. You're getting beat down in the media all day. It's frustrating. And that's all that was. You just saw frustrations boil over. Their offense wasn't having success. It's a lot, man. It's a lot. I mean, you deal with a lot as an NFL quarterback.
Well, he looked lost, too, man, I thought.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Yeah, for sure.
That's Jonathan Allen, Commanders defensive tackle, one of the best ones in the business, on the Sports Junkies on 106.7 The Fan in Washington yesterday.
Kenny, when the other team's players are saying, after they played him, too.
Without fear of retribution.
Yeah, they know they're not going to play Deshaun Watson again this year, and so that's when they can speak freely. Like, you probably wouldn't hear a Bengals player say that or a Ravens player. When you hear that, it's over. And so it's over because if they're thinking that, what do you think people in your locker room are thinking? And they just can't say it. Like, we had Rodney McLeod here yesterday. He's not going to say, even in his 14th year in the NFL, he's not going to dump on the quarterback that's still the starter. If they're all thinking that, then yes, the conversations are being had. Maybe. And if he performs poorly this week, I think he gets benched.
Have you noticed something in the last 48 hours, though, in this argument about him? We're no
the
longer...
The resignation?
We are not... Bingo. We are no longer making arguments anymore about if he can save it and whose fault it is that he's not saving it. We are now having an argument on how to get out of it and the best course of action to get out of it. Again, I brought up they're going to draft a quarterback the first round next year. That's the quarterback that they can afford and get people excited to be behind and also sell tickets with. So they'll draft a quarterback in the first round. Mark it now. I'll be shocked if they don't. Those quarterbacks have to go and all take a nosedive from here on out for them to not do it. Anybody you mentioned that could be at the top of the draft, I know I have my favorite. I told you Garrett Nussmeier. You name them, they're going to be up there because they might be drafting. If they go out there and they get hammered this week, it very well may be quitting time, and they could go out there and draft at the top of the draft coming up. Now, I don't know if they're going to get the number one, but they're going to have certainly a nice pick about who they want. So they'll either do that. There's also the conversation about how to get out of the contract. Now, people wanted to call in about another thing about how to get out of the contract, which was pretty seedy and things that we didn't really want to talk about. This entire room didn't want to talk about when it came to the lawsuits, when it came to Deshaun Watson. But we had to discuss it because it was a news story. Well, that lawsuit has been taken care of. And they have come to an agreement there, and I don't think the NFL is going to do anything of it. There's the other thought of it, where some people have, somebody texted me, like, maybe a Brock Osweiler situation. I don't know what team in their right mind would ever go for that. I think Browns fans would line up for something like that to, okay, we'll give you the picks. We'll go ahead and rid ourselves of this, and you guys can have everything else. I mean, it's $92 million over the next couple of years, but it's not just $92 million over the next couple of years. It's easy to compare him to the Brock Osweiler situation, except it's nowhere near the Brock Osweiler situation. He didn't come in with the baggage. He didn't come in with this entire thought process of, guys, this is going to be a verb. Tell everybody who you mentioned to me. You might not remember this. Do you remember this? The Rick Ankiel, Chuck Knobloch comparison that you made? Like, that's where we're at right now.
Aren't we officially there?
So for a lot of people, yeah. Because there were a lot of folks when they first made the trade going, hey, he ain't going to have it anymore. And honestly, I didn't believe that. I thought that he would come here and he would play much better than what he has. But the conversation, without us maybe even noticing, folks, has shifted from the vigorous defense of the play of Deshaun Watson and whose fault it is other than his. And going after his play and both sides going after each other for that to what's the best course of action to move on. What's the most realistic course of action? Because I ask you, what team would trade for
nobody.
Him?
Nobody. No, teams wouldn't even take him for free at this point because of the baggage, too. Like, they would take a flyer on somebody, but he's so unpopular. I mean, we just had another lawsuit settled. Like, what team is bringing that on? And now watching him for 3 years not look any better.
I need a big brain person to tell me, because I'm going to tell you this. I know that Andrew Berry is, with a lot of people right now, not their favorite person because of all of this. You talk somebody else in this league into taking him and taking that contract, he should have a lifetime deal here.
Executive of the year?
Forget Anthony Schwartz and forget all the picks. You talk another team into taking him. That's it.
And didn't
you
we
got
say,
your lifetime general manager.
Didn't we say the only chance, the only other team that would maybe take Deshaun Watson was Atlanta? And they wouldn't now.
They got two quarterbacks now.
There's no chance.
They got Kirk Cousins. They got Michael Penix.
That would be the one team. So I think at this stage, maybe if Deshaun took a year off and then put up the highlight reels and got together with his quarterback guru or whatever, that would be the only shot I'd see. But he's right now, the way it's looking, I don't think he's...
Too much baggage in the trunk.
Yeah, I think he's getting benched this week if he plays poorly. And I mean, they are massive underdogs on the road against Philly.
What is the number right now? Was it 7.5?
Oh, it was 8.5.
8.5?
Which is just such a big number. And that's against an Eagles team.
Bring out the yodeler for the number.
And who the hell believes in the Eagles?
Well, right now, nobody. I mean, they're on the cusp of firing Nick Sirianni if we're talking about firing coaches. Not good.